In this week's market update, the inflation focus shifts to the UK, dividends are back in the spotlight as earnings season wraps up, and the FOMO rally, how sustainable is it? The big market moving data last week was US inflation. This week, attention shifts back across the Atlantic. US prices are rising faster than at any point since 1990, at more than 6% year on year. And this month, the CPI here in the UK is expected to reach an annual growth rate of 3.9%, well up on last month's 3.1%, as supply chain disruption, rising energy prices, and too few workers for too many job openings push prices higher. Bad as that sounds, it's not the end of it either. The Bank of England expects prices to keep accelerating until inflation reaches a peak of around 5% next spring. Thereafter, it's hoped that the year-on-year impact of higher oil and gas prices will start to fade. If demand also ebbs away and some other raw material shortages ease, then inflation could start to fall back towards target. Well, that's the optimistic scenario. If so, it would tie in with some previous inflationary periods, like the one before the financial crisis between the turn of the millennium and 2008. The alternative scenario, the one that worries policymakers and investors alike, is the 1970s, where prices hit 6% in the late 1960s, fell back under 3% in the early 70s, but then took off in two massive price spikes in 1974 and again in 1979. What's also concerning is the fact that inflation is returning against a backdrop of slowing economic momentum. That's the stagflation fear. It's not most people's central case just yet, but it is a possibility. The markets to watch for hints about where inflation is headed are government bonds, and particularly inflation-linked bonds. At the moment, there's a divergence between TIPS, the inflation-linked bonds, and nominal bonds. TIPS yields are rising to new highs, while nominal yields remain below their recent peak. That means that real yields are getting more negative, a situation that's usually good for inflation hedges like gold. Gold is picking up a bit from recent lows below $1,700 an ounce, but at $1,870 or so, the price remains well below last year's peak of just over $2,000 an ounce. Investors are starting to think harder about how to position their portfolios for a more inflationary environment. With moderate inflation, that means a bias towards shares and away from bonds. At higher levels, it points to precious metals and other commodities. On the shares front, the numbers are now almost fully in on the key driver of prices, earnings. The third quarter earnings season was good, if less so than the first two quarters of the year. Profits growth ended up at around 40% year on year, continuing the pandemic recovery, but at a slower pace than the 54% and 96% recorded in the first 2 3-month periods of 2021. So, earnings growth is peaking. That's normal in a recovery. What does it mean for the markets from here? Well, history shows that the transition from early cycle recovery to mid-cycle growth is variable. Sometimes it does see earnings actually fall back. More often, it's just a growth slowdown. And the market tends to follow the same pattern. Sometimes shares continue to grind higher, less often they reverse. Which it turns out to be could depend on central banks. If they keep policy reasonably easy, risking rising inflation, they have the ability to keep stock markets bubbling higher. If they panic about inflation and tighten too hard, that will put an end to the current market bullishness. On that subject, there's a lot of talk at the moment about FOMO, or fear of missing out. This is always the prevailing emotion at the top of the market and explains why bubbles occur and markets overshoot. Since the start of the pandemic, the MSCI All World Index has just about doubled. Wall Street has enjoyed its longest run of record highs since the early 1960s, and some of the most speculative investments, such as cryptocurrencies, are booming. Another sign of frothy markets is the growing participation by retail investors, who are often slow to join the party, but most enthusiastic later on. This was the story during the dot-com bubble period in 1999-2000. And it's happening again. In particular, investors are buying call options, derivatives that allow an investor to place a magnified bet on future price rises, but at the risk of losing their investment if further price rises don't happen. One further sign of market excess is when bearish investors throw in the towel, accepting that in an irrational market, there's no point in trying to make reasoned judgments about what is or is not good or bad value. Some hedge funds are retreating from the current FOMO rally to lick their wounds. Again, this is a reminder of the dot-com period when high-profile bears lost their jobs only to be proved right in due course. One lesson from 20 years ago is that the final phase of a speculative bubble can be the most profitable for those brave enough to carry on riding the wave. But as time goes by, the risks increase and almost no one manages to get out at the top. And all that assumes that we are indeed approaching a top. That's not a given. Valuation multiples are nothing like as excessive as they have been at previous market peaks. The global stock market is above its trend growth line, but not to the extent that it's reached in the past. I've seen predictions of the S&P 500 reaching 8,000 within 5 years, and that is plausible if central banks repeat their post-war playbook of suppressed interest rates, tolerance of moderately higher inflation, and there's higher government spending on, for example, the greening of the world's energy system and social programs. One continuing support for equities in a low interest rate environment will be dividends, which it was predicted this week will regain pre-pandemic levels by the end of the year, a bit earlier than expected. According to Janus Henderson's latest dividends index, payouts to shareholders were just 2% below their previous peak in the third quarter. It's been a rapid recovery from the pandemic when many companies were forced or chose to reduce their dividends. Payouts rose by 22% year on year in the quarter, with 90% of companies either maintaining or increasing their dividends. Commodities companies were in the vanguard of the recovery as higher prices fueled record profits. Banks too were able to return to the dividend list after pandemic restrictions were lifted and booming markets and M&A activity lifted profits in that sector too. And finally, the end of the COP26 summit in Glasgow at the weekend underscored both the opportunities and challenges presented by climate change. Overall, the meeting of nearly 200 countries probably achieved a bit more than feared, but rather less than hoped for. One thing that became clear during the two-week conference was that the future of the planet from an environmental perspective is largely in the hands of a handful of big countries, namely the US, China, and India. These are the big emitters of carbon dioxide and the ones that are most reliant on the dirtiest power generation. The meeting ended with disappointment and recriminations after China and India refused to go along with a call to phase out coal power, but insisted on a watered-down pledge to simply reduce its share. A small difference, maybe, but one that underlined the tension between domestic politics and growth ambitions on the one hand and doing the right thing for the world on the other. Still, just mentioning coal by name was a first, and the possibility of restricting global temperature rises to less than 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels remains just about achievable, if unlikely. To do so will require further measures to be unveiled over the next year. As it stands, temperatures are likely to be 2.4 degrees higher by the end of the century, a sobering outcome given the already clear climate changes after a rise in temperatures so far of just 1.1 degrees.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.